Amen.
Well, those of you that are tuning into the podcast, I welcome you to the House of Manna Sunday service. It is the live service where we stand together in the presence of God, lift up our voice, lift up our hands, and give thanks unto the Lord. This is your day, God, and we give it unto you. Now, Father, I just thank you for this time in your presence, Lord, and I thank you as we begin this service, Father, that you take over me and you do what you want to do. Let me move out of the way and let your oil flow. Let us not stand as a people to stop the flow of your oil, but let us be emerged and immersed in your oil, Father, so that we can reflect change, not just in our lives, but also in the people's lives around us. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time. Now, Holy Spirit, have your way. Prepare the hearts of your people to receive the word of God. And, Father, right now I just take dominion and power and authority over every distracting spirit, every false spirit, and every antichrist spirit. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over you now. I bind you now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. On Wednesday, begin the next phase of this message, the blessing blockers that choke out life in you. We started on this one particular topic that I couldn't even finish reading the scripture. We broke it down and we got into what it really meant when you read the scripture. So what I'm going to do is finish part two of this particular scripture. I tried to finish it on Wednesday, but the Lord just saw fit to just love on us. He chastised those that he loved. I think we all left with the switch marks on our back. Some of us had our ears elongated. You know that one line on your leg? You know, when you get around grandma and grandma, you think they're kind of frail and slow, but they fast. They grab your ears so fast. Mine are short. I ain't got no lobes. My grandma look at, hey, mijo, I'm back out gordo. Yeah, grandma, get over here. Because I was always doing something wrong. So I knew when she would call me, I'm just go here. Sometimes we think that when we get called by God, we're going to get in trouble. Every time we get confronted with something we've been dealing with, I said, we're going to get whooped now. We're going to just get whooped. God's going to whoop on us. Well, he's doing that to correct you, to bring correction to your life so that he can bring blessings into your life. Amen. And whoever is in here that has a hard time about being blessed, shame on you. Shame on you. If you think that I'm talking about money, because I deal with this all the time in the spirit. I'm going to tell you what the Holy Spirit told Ananias and Sapphira. Because you're truly believers of God. You're truly followers of the work of God. Sell everything you have. What happened? Cricket in here? What do you mean I'm going to sell everything I got? I ain't selling it on, especially in a garage sale, because you only get a dollar for everything. Sell everything you got. They sold houses and lands and everything. And then they gave the money away. Hello? The door creaked and it's like people are leaving. Pastor Marty's saying, sell our house, sell everything. No, I'm just telling you, that's what he did so he could challenge you. Where's your heart? Is your heart where the money is? If your heart is inclined to God, you'll do the things of God in the spirit as opposed to the things of the flesh. Correct? You with me now? Well, on Wednesday, the Lord began to show me that there's some things that are blocking our blessings that we overlook because we think that's not for us. So if you would go to your Bibles in Galatians, please. We're going to go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Jesus, help my eyes, Lord. I bind that devil. Galatians 5:19. Who has it? Bonnie, you've got it. Let me get you a microphone. Sit down. Since you were up, sir, why don't you go ahead and make sure you get everybody get that. I know you're getting ready to run. I know. I see you trimming. Look at this. I see you. Thank you, Jesus. I see your midsection. And in your midsection, there is becoming a defining that has taken place. The purpose is no longer what it used to be. The purpose is because someone has your eye. And it's going to begin to mature into something more than what you thought. You've been faithful, says the Spirit of God. You have prayed more lately than you have in quite some time. There is more thankfulness coming out of your lips, says the Spirit of God, that He's very pleased with you. Watch the influence begin to come upon you like the favor of God. The eye will begin to take the heart, and the heart will become one. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know who had it. Thank you. Okay, can you get that to Bonnie, sir? And stand with the microphone. I'm going to have different people read. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you very much. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, Miss Bonnie, please, if you would read.
Now the works of the flesh, is it on? Mm-hmm. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
All right. Thank you, Miss Bonnie. I want to read it out of the NIV that I have. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word, and I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that as I begin to dismount this particular message, Father, that they are ready to receive. That the bit that is in their mouth, Lord, that they learn to chew on it and learn to accept. For you are the God that holds the reins and guide us in the direction that we must go. Let us not fight against the bit, but let us enjoy the bit in our mouth. For you guide us in all truth by the Spirit of the living God. So, Father, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. We started on Wednesday and we got through the sexual immorality and talked about how it is the sexualness that is of the flesh. It's the working of the flesh. We talked about it in a sense also that it comes in the church. Okay. The letter to the church of Galatia was written by the Apostle Paul to the church, and he is stipulating to the church that this is what's going on in your church. So don't look at me silly and say, well, Pastor, that's not me, because I don't have the work of the flesh. I'm spiritual. If the Apostle Paul is going to write to you about sexuality, and I'm going to get to the good one, because all of y'all are like, I saw that one, it said orgies. Let's see what he's going to talk about. That one, he's talking about orgies. He's going to talk about orgies. Y'all going to be surprised. It has nothing to do with the content of it. So we began to talk about that, the idolatry, the sorcery, and the enmity, which is the deep-rooted hatred, which is the carnal mind. This is in Romans 8:7. Then we talked about strife and jealousy, and how jealousy, we ended on jealousy, how people just don't want to see you blessed. You know, the ones that sit close to you and at work or school or your family members, your church members, your bingo members. Your gambling members. Your lotto picker members. Your bones members. If y'all don't know what bones are, then you just ain't with it. You got that one, you got it. Bam! Talking about dominoes, and I ain't talking about pizza. Your chest members. Your organization members of the higher society, of businesswomen, and men of America. See, jealousy comes from all angles. And the jealousy is going to work your very nerve. Oh, it'll work your nerve. Trust me, it'll work your nerve. We talked about how you can walk into a place and they smell the cologne and they say, oh my God, that cologne is expensive. But they don't even know that you took it out of the magazine and you pulled it open and you used it. You know, or that you happen to just go to the mall and the first thing you do before you go to any stores, any place, you go to the Dillard's or the Macy's or something, or you go to the Saks Fifth Avenue, Lord and Taylor, and you go to the, and and then you walk through so that you can catch the attention of others. Because you know that's why you're wearing it, you're putting so much. Well, you know, you're supposed to spray it and then step into it. Lord Jesus. Some of y'all bathing in. Yes, I'm talking to the church on the podcast. Some of y'all want to be recognized for what everybody else says is prosperous. But the Bible says that as your soul prospers, is something that cannot be taken away. So when the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Galatia, he's telling them, you are missing everything that God wants to get to you because you're so fleshy. Told you on Wednesday. Y'all miss on Wednesday. Y'all are something else when y'all miss on Wednesday. Wednesday, woohoo! Lord speaks. Speaks. And we want to be spiritual, but we also want to be of this world. We want to make sure that everybody knows that we're okay. See, last night I went to a reunion. And it was a reunion of all my friends from high school. All my friends. And if you heard my testimony, the one that I could really tell you without making you go, Pastor, my real testimony, you would know that when I posted my trip to Africa, I posted it on my personal Facebook. So what was the topic when I walked into the party? God used you. So what you talking about? God used me. Who? When? Well, you on Facebook, I saw your pictures from Africa. I said, oh, yeah. That's amazing. I said, you want to elaborate? What's amazing? He said that he chose you to do that. So, you know, me and myself, I figured, well, let's have some fun. They drinking. They cutting up. They having a good old time. I said, well, you remember back in the day when I gathered all of y'all together and got you over to a house on a certain street that everybody would drive by? They knew that they were having a party when they would see the cars all the way up from West Avenue all the way down to Vance Jackson. And if it wasn't there, it was from West Avenue all the way up to Blanco. Some of y'all don't know and understand the geography of where we were at. But here's the thing. Everybody knew that wherever I was, there was a party. Ask my cousin. So now, watch this. Had to bring back the DJ lights and everything. Hey. We're going to Wang Chung tonight. Look. But look. So I began telling him, I said, who better to reach those that have a devilish attitude than the devil himself? Would you wear what? Don't look at me all stupefied. Just because you feel a little good. I said, don't make me preach in here. And I said, look, God chooses the foolish ones. And I'm the big fool. Oh, see, I'm gonna lose some people on this one. Ramey, I think our church attendance and everything, everybody's just about to leave now. So one of my friends happens to have the same last name as me. I won't mention no names, but just was there. They know, my friends. So he says, you want a beer? I said, no, man, I'm cool right now. I'm cool. You ain't going to have one, are you? Because you're a preacher now. I said, oh, really? Really? For real? Oh, you want to go there? Come with me. They're going to leave, Ramey. I know what I feel. They're going to leave. I knew this church was fleshy. Wait a minute now. How do y'all know that action? I wasn't dancing or nothing. Y'all knew it because you know what I'm talking about. Start pumping that keg a little bit. Let me get you one. You want another? He says, I told you you weren't going to drink. That cup is mine. He just looked at me. You going to drink? You'll never see me drunk. And because my wife isn't here because she's in Houston, I'm only here for 1 hour. And I'm leaving. I miss you guys, but I can see why God chose me. I said, because he chose, because I was a leader with him. Ask my cousin. So I said, he chose me to do it because I was one of the worst ones. And I said, man, I don't want to talk about this because the moment people find out I'm a preacher, they start acting different. But then they start making me feel like, you're not even supposed to be here. I said, don't do that. We're friends. We go way back. You know my story. You know my story as part of my history. But I'm writing something new, which is called my future. I said, if you want to get lit, get lit. If you want to get tore up from the floor up, do that. That's on you. But I just want to tell you, I love you and I miss you. I mean, what kind of church you got? I said, you want to come to my church? I said, honestly, this is the true conversation right here at the party keg. And at the party keg, people have a tendency to just, you know, to talk. Well, this Moses wasn't going to stutter. This Moses was going to tell it like it is. I said, I didn't come all the way over here from my house, which on Saturdays, you know where you can find me? At home. This is where you find me. Ask my kids. Ask them. My wife was here, she'd tell you, yeah, we don't do nothing on Saturday because he gets ready. But I went. And I'm so glad I did. Because after the ones, the chit-chatted a little bit, the ones that understood came up and said, you've been my biggest influence ever since high school. I didn't know that. See, I couldn't tell you because I was afraid of you. You're afraid of me? Yeah, you were mean. Oh, yeah, I was. Yeah, I was pretty bad, huh? He says, then I saw what you posted on Facebook, and you're my bigger inspiration. I was like, wow, thank you, man. I'm a bit quiet. At the keg. At the keg. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. And then someone else come up. Hey, man, that's awesome. When you going back? I said, November, I'm going back. Let me know. I want to give money to you when you go. Need a drink? I stayed at that. I felt like giving an offering plate. But listen. What I'm trying to tell you is that I knew that what God said, he said, I'm going to use you, but I don't want you to be like everybody else. Okay? And it's been one of the hardest things as a pastor of this church is to stay in the vein that God wants me in as opposed to the vein that I want to be in. Okay? But when I was there last night, that's when the Lord confirmed to me through the people Keep doing what you're doing. But we need to get together again. The Klan, they were all there. I mean, they were all there. Took pictures and we cried. Because they remember when we were together, we could do anything. My cousin used to be, and he's younger, he used to be around. I thought, never should have been. And he would come around and he would know that there was such a closeness there. There was such a closeness that when I walked in, once all that was dispelled about, oh, you're holy. No, I'm just like you, man. My job isn't punching in on the clock. My job is all the time. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. I wouldn't trade it for the world. It broke those barriers down when they could see that they could be themselves around me. And that's when I began to have a good time. The crazy one, I'll just say that, the crazy one, okay, is the one that said, I'm so proud of you. And I need you right now in my life. So when I left there, I left full. I left full, like, wow, God, you had a way. You had a way of showing me through a reflection of my past that you were working in me then. Do you understand? So, the jealousy rises up. I didn't lose my place anywhere I was at. The jealousy will rise up amongst people that don't understand you. You understand that? When people don't understand you, they have a tendency to do things that will cause all kinds of blessing blockers in your life because you begin to react to the very thing that is coming against you from the outside influences. So the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Galatia, showing them that you are Christians, you're the church, and this is the way you're acting, this is what I see, and that is basically going to stop the thing that God wants for you. Now, I want you to put yourself in this position. You're in church, and you're going and seeking God for the very thing to be loosed in your life that you've been desiring, correct? Okay, is that okay? Two people. So I'll talk to the two. The two people that want their blessings to come to pass, you work at it, do you not? Okay, but there's something that is working against you from the outside. It's called flesh. It's an influence that the enemy uses to keep you from obtaining your blessing. Now, it doesn't say you're never going to get it. It just delays it. Okay. Now, for today's message, today, that's just a prelude to what's coming next. I want to share with you. Someone find Matthew 5:21, please. Matthew 5:21-24. And when you ever have it, say amen. Who's got it? Matthew 5:21-24. You have it? You? Who's got it? Who's got it? Okay, Ramey. Let's get Ramey over here. Ramey. Matthew 5:21.
Okay. Through. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says you fool shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First to be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering.
Amen. What this is talking about here in Matthew 5:21-24 is fits of anger. So the Apostle Paul is writing about anger in the church. What do you mean? We're supposed to have love, peace, and joy in church? Why is he writing to the church about anger? What do you think? Hello? Because we have anger? What usually brings upon the anger? What is it? I got one in her jealousy. What else? Huh? Hurt. Okay, hurt. What's another one? Fear. Good. Another one. I'm sorry. Rejection. That's a good one. What else? Discouragement. Is discouragement making you angry or more discouraged? More discouraged. Okay. What else? Envy. Disappointment. Making you more disappointment. Resentful. Making you more resentful. Understand? Ain't nobody talked about finances. Oh yeah, that one. I was going to say it, Pastor. I was going that way, but it didn't match, so I didn't say. Do you know what the number one cause of divorce is? Finances. The number one cause of fits of rage in people is finance. It's always been about the money. The number one cause that pastors that look for money, that causes them to get angry, is finances over the church, which leads to the highest rate of suicides in the pulpit. In the pulpit. I have read last year in 2014 many pastors that have committed suicide at the pulpit, in the office, or in the church parking lot. All because of finances. Pretty rough, isn't it? Now, if you have bills that are piling up, how many of you have bills that are piling up? Raise your hand. You're in church, be honest. Okay. Now, when you made these bills, because you made them, did you budget for these bills? You got real quiet in here. Did you hear that right? Cricket, cricket. Well, what happens is the enemy knows that you have a tendency to be after something that you desire. And he puts it right before you and you desire it even the more. You know the iPhone 700 that just came out? Because, you know, they're going to have them for, I don't know how long, as long as everybody wants it, they're going to have it. We got to get the next new thing. Because everybody has it. I want to have it. I need to have it. You see how many people stand in line to get the first iPhone? And the very first one that got the very first iPhone dropped it. Did y'all read that? Did you see that? I think that was a very strong prophetic statement. Put things before God, and I'll make things drop out of your hands. What? Oh, wait a minute. This is just an Apple phone. Fruit of the flesh. Some of y'all are like, hey, Pastor, that was good revelation. Apple phone. But the reality is that we always want something that we just want. It's a desire. It's not a need. So when finances get real tight, it's usually you can go back and look back. I didn't need that. Didn't need that. Really didn't need. I just wanted that. Didn't need that. Lord Jesus. Now I'm facing my need and there's not enough for my need. Then you get mad at God because he didn't supply for your need. He says he supplies for your needs, not your desires. He will give you the desires of your heart, but you have a responsibility to deal with certain things. So the enemy is going to deal with you in your anger. Say it with me, anger. Do you get mad at times? Do you get mad when things don't go your way? Or do you get mad when the person sitting next to you just kind of just scoots aside because they ain't? Or they couldn't call you honey boo boo or honey, and you know that when they call you honey boo boo, honey babe, sweetie, sugar britches, whatever, you know something that is following that is you got something you got to do. Because you know something is coming. All of a sudden you just get kind of a little irritated. Because I was going to do it, but since you told me to do it, I don't want to do it. Oh, Lord, you should see the looks I'm getting now. How Just pray, man. Don't you pray? Look, when people get mad because it was in my heart, I was going to do it, but since you told me to do it, I don't want to do it now. I wanted it to be a surprise for you. It'd have been a surprise if you had done it. Oh, Lord. There's some men leaving the church now. But wait a minute. Look. Man, see, that's why I don't get finished on time. Stop it, Marty. Look, one of the things is fits of anger. But you know that there's something you're supposed to do, but you don't do it. Then you get mad. Because it reminded you that you should have done it. You've been there, man? I was going to wash the dishes, but, you know, I was watching TV and it just, and then I got sight. And now you're telling me to wash the dishes. I don't want. It's not the same, and I don't get the same effect because you told me to do it. You know, we kind of reason with something that you shouldn't be reasoning with. Just do it. Right? Now, we get mad at that. Well, how about this one? How about this one? Anger comes just because someone is coming against you. Right? Well, everybody comes against us. No, they come against you because you're doing right. Think about Joseph in the Bible. He had a dream. I have a dream, and all my brothers are going to bow to me. You're going in the pit, brother. You in that fancy coat that Dad got you. I'll show you about that coat. I'll take that thing off, throw you in the pit. I'm going to put blood on it and tell Dad, you died. Here's that. Here's your coat now. A lot of things happen based upon the fleshy issues of our life. But it causes us to react. Have you ever made a decision based on your emotion? Have you ever made a decision on a relationship based on your emotion? Oh, look at here. I done struck a nerve. Well, Pastor, don't go there, Pastor. Don't go to Pastor. No. Based on your emotion, you choose someone based on what you saw, based on your flesh. Then you get mad at the person that you chose because they're not the right one. Preach, Pastor, I will. And you think because God said, and it wasn't God, it was you, your soulless realm, and God wasn't in it, did you get mad at God, or you get mad at everybody else telling you truth? I felt like I got delivered, God. Yeah. We get all caught up in some stuff. But what appeases us first is flesh. And don't get all spiritual on me and say, no, I like the intellect of the person. They're funny. I can talk with them. You wouldn't have been talking with them or hanging with them unless your eyes saw something you liked. It just so happened that the skirt knows how to say hallelujah. Or the stilettos make the calf just pop. Now watch this. Say, I'm going to get off the mainframe. I'm going to help you, man. That's why you can't stay holy. Because your eyes are wandering. They're wandering around to see what the next thing is being offered to you. And not everything that you see is yours. Not everything that you see you should desire. But some things that you should desire shouldn't be anything that you see with your eyes. It should be the very thing that God has put in your heart to make you follow after Him. for you women in the house and listening on the podcast. Not every joker that tells you everything that you want to hear is the one for you. Not every man that's going to tell you, I have children, I love my child, I spend time with my children every month. Once a month. There's a problem. See, what had happened was, something happened. Well, that something happened is going to be brought into your relationship. Because not everybody that's going to tell you that they're the Rico Suave. Some of this way back in the day. This is the Marky Mark of the time. You know, Marky Mark in the time they had the Calvin Kleins, you know. Yeah. Some of y'all are like, shit. Look. Just because the person that caught your eye is fine don't mean that they're fine with God. Maybe God is trying to tell you, quit looking with your eyes and learn to wait on me. Because your sensuality and your sexuality begins to draw upon the very thing that's inside of you and begins to bring that very thing that's inside of you to you. Here's proof that is in the putain. Have you ever found that you're looking in, oh Lord Jesus, help me, that you're dating the same type of people? But you blame them. You have a tendency to always get the ones that don't want to work. You happen to get the ones that always want to sass you. You get the ones that always don't know how to treat you with respect. About the fourth and fifth husband down the road, you wonder, something's wrong with them. But not you. You choosing, and based on what's already inside of you, that is what's drawing them to you. You know, the ones, oh, let me just get here now. I'm here, so I just might as well just stay here. You know the ones that in every relationship, you have to be the one that is always putting your hands on the woman. And you say it's them because they drove you that way. No, it's in you a fit of rage and anger that the only way you know how to display any type of emotion is when you lash out. I done lost the other half of the church now. What is in you, you will attract. So, but I didn't put it there. The enemy put it there. Somewhere down the line in your life, some emotion got attached to your soul, and it has produced its harvest. So the Apostle Paul is writing to the church about their anger issue. Now we got classes for anger management. How do you deal with anger? I hit walls. How many times you got to patch them up? All the time. Did it cost you money? Yeah. Was it smart? No. Wisdom, baby. Wisdom. Learn to not react. Learn to walk away. And then revisit it with a cool head. You understand? And this goes for everybody. This isn't just for males. Females are just as bad. Females have a tendency to go off on a whole different kind of... They may not be punching holes. They may be breaking headlights, breaking windows. I'm just cutting up clothes. Cutting up the clothes that they bought you. Kind of getting on you on Facebook and telling everybody how you are. What? I'm just telling you that anger comes from that. Proverbs 14:29, sir, if you have it, let's get ready to read. Wait for the... Yes, need that. Proverbs 14:29. I need you to get 15:18. Proverbs 15:18. Get it ready. All right. Proverbs 14:29. Go ahead, Elder.
Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly.
What? Exalts folly? Do you have that in the Amplified, sir? You have it in the Amplified? 14:29. All right, let's read it again, Elder, out of the Amplified. Proverbs 14:29 out of the Amplified. Take notes, please. All right. You got it? Go to Jeff. All right, Jeff, let's read that out of the Amplified. 14:29.
He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is hasty of spirit exposes and exalts his folly.
Okay. Now, can we come over here to Proverbs 15:18, please? Proverbs 15:18. Baya, give me... Just read one right now.
A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention.
Mm-hmm. Next version.
A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel.
Calms a quarrel? Amen. Can I have... Ms. Baya, read Proverbs 19:11, please. Proverbs 19:11.
I can't see, Marty. Proverbs 19:11. If you are sensible, you will control your temper. When someone wrongs you, it is a great virtue to ignore it.
Ignore it? What? B, can you give me Proverbs 29:22? Proverbs 29:22. Proverbs 29:22. I love it. I hear everybody going to it in their Bibles, getting on their apps. That's good. Do you have it on your phone?
An angry person starts fights. A hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sin.
One more time, please.
An angry person starts fights. A hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sin.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear that? An angry person starts fight and commits all kinds of sin. Jesus, help me. All right, now, get your mom. Liz, let's read James 1, 19 and 20. James 1, 19 and 20.
Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and requires.
Amen. These are some scriptures that would deal with the fits of anger in your life. And this is basically what the Apostle Paul is writing to them, saying you got to have a better understanding on how to deal with the issues that are taking place in your life. And if you have a tendency to always go with the anger as the result, then basically what he's telling them is you're a fool. And you're giving in to your foolishness and your follies. You're going into the soulless realm. Wednesday night, we begin to do the soul detox. And this is along this line where you get your mind, your will, and emotions to be removed of the very thing that has caused you pain, hurt, and all kinds of anger that will be outwardly displayed. You understand that? So the fits of anger will stop the blessings in your life, because what happens is you are going to hurt someone. And you might not even realize that the one that you are hurting with your anger could be the one that God is sending to bless. Yep, you maybe missed that one. Every time that you lash out to somebody, You may be lashing out to the very hand of God that is getting ready to bless you, because he uses people as the instrument, as a conduit to bless you. It does not fall from the sky. He uses people and organizations to bless you. But if you have this bitter and angry spirit about you, you may be hurting the very one that God sent your way to get you blessed. You may say something to offend that person based on your emotions and based on your anger, and God say, they ain't ready. Come here. And then you get mad at God. God, you got to do something. Well, your attitude. It was your attitude. I had everything ready for you. I was getting ready to sign the check for you, and you would have just had everything that I promised you. But your attitude needed to be in check. Let's move off of that one now. Let's go. I was only on the second point, and my God, we got to get going. The next one, it says it's fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions. Here's what I want to talk about, dissensions real quick. Dissension is a difference of opinion, a disagreement, and disconnected from truth. Dissension, he's writing to the church telling them, you feel like in the church, because you disagree, you're not connected. And because you feel like you're not connected, you feel like you don't belong. And when you feel like you don't belong, you feel like you're not worth anything. Did you catch that? Have you ever been somewhere where you feel like they don't value your opinion? You know, the same ones that you go and talk to and they don't want to listen to you? So why go talk to them about it? So why continue to go to them about it? Don't shame on them. Shame on you, because you keep going back. Well, they don't listen. Well, quit talking to them. Go to somebody else and talk to them. And what happens is we feel that there's a sense of disconnect. Well, they don't value me. So what does the enemy do? He's going to make dissension be an influence within the church. Make you feel like you don't have worth. To make you feel disconnected. If I'm not connected, I got to leave. I'll just take me and my ministry someplace else. They don't know. I can do it too. Well, here's the key to the they don't know. You haven't offered it. Hello? You haven't offered your gift. You've wrapped it up in a sweat cloth saying, oh, I'm not going to let anybody see this gift. It's so precious. You can't use me that way. I'm going to wrap it up so you don't hurt me. All along, hurting yourself. Not being used, getting mad at God. I've been shelved for 15 years. You shelved yourself. Getting mad at God because ain't nobody using me to preach. How about when you come in, you start smiling at people and loving on people. You have a position and a disposition where they can say, wait a minute, you've changed. You actually come in with a smile now and you actually give me a genuine hug as opposed to. And when you say hello, you really mean it this time. Are we in church today? I'm just trying to teach you today. I'm not preaching, I'm teaching you. Is that all right if I teach? Is it okay? Because what happens is we feel like we have to have everybody know everything about us. What God has given me to be a blessing into the kingdom of God, I've got to do this very thing. God says, really? Clean the toilets. Vacuum the sanctuary. Clean the windows. Like, oh no, that's not me. I got to go pray about that. You got to pray about nothing. You got to just do. When you get home, do you pray about cleaning the windows and vacuuming? No. Some of y'all do. The Lord didn't say for me to do. He told me to be still, so I'm not doing anything today. So a whole month goes by, you ain't done nothing yet. Oh, that's really God, huh? I hate that when they say, I'm going to pray about it. Pray about what? Whether or not to wake up and do the things of God? All you're saying is, I got to be holy so God can use me. No, he's saying, will you be willing to do? Just do. That's it. But people don't want to do. They want to pray. And when they say, I'm going to pray about it, you know what that means? No, it means hell no. That's what that means. No, it means just no. It means hell no. I just don't want to tell you to your face. I'm going to let God tell you. Because I'm going to pray that God reveals to you that I don't want to do it. So my question to you is, when you go and pray to God and you say, Lord, you got to show me the will of God, and you don't hear nothing, what does that usually mean to you? Some of us say, be still. No, it's just because you're praying amiss. You're not praying what he wants. You're praying what you want. And God says, I ain't going to hear you. God don't hear all your prayers, especially if they're from the soul. But if you pray his will, his word, he'll hear you. Don't get mad at me just because, well, pastor said that God don't hear our prayers. Lord Jesus, tell pastor to get off of this message now. I don't like it. Tell Pastor Marty to get off of this subject. I want to hear a prophetic word. What does my future hold? Speak, Lord, now. And the Lord just sit back and say, who is this joker coming to me? When I got the man of God speaking what I've given in his spirit to do, and you want to come and pray against him? You want to manipulate it? You want to control it? Sit down, you witch! Example. Nobody here does that. It's an example. Y'all looking at me like, Pastor, what's up? It's an example. Just an example. The IE and the IE example. Because y'all don't do that. Y'all say, preach, Pastor! Yeah, right. Dissensions is disagreement. Jesus, it's 12 o'clock. I promise to get you out of here in just a little bit. Okay, divisions. Now, if the devil brings in division into the church, you're going to see it immediately. Immediately. So that's why he doesn't use division. He uses dissension to cause division. Dissension is going to make you disagree. And with the disagreement, the best way you deal with the disagreement, I agree to disagree with you, but it's okay. I love you. You don't have to prove somebody wrong or prove yourself right when you always want to be right. Go somewhere and they don't want to hear this. What you waiting on, Mitchell? I'm in the battle lines right now. People, I got the spears ready to throw at me, man. You know. Look. Division comes in the church to divide covenant. God is a God of covenant. To bring together people for a purpose. So when dissension sets in the atmosphere of a church, division becomes the fruit of it. And all of a sudden now people begin to disconnect. That's the easy one to see. That's the easy one to deal with. Because forgiveness has to be there. When you accept forgiveness, guess what? It brings you back in right standing. Okay? Envy is the next one. How many of you get envy and jealous because someone's getting blessed? Not us, right? Because we're perfect here. Okay. So when I pull up in my F-250 diesel 4x4, I don't want to hear anybody say, Pastor, I can't believe you went and got that. And you don't even know that God said, I'm going to get you one and get somebody else one in the church too. And you could be the very one coming against me because I get blessed. And God may have that blessing getting ready to give to you. And you start envying and jealousy. He said, oh, no, you ain't ready. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Celebrate victories in other people's lives. That is the seed that you're sowing that people will celebrate you in your victories. Amen. Don't get mad. I'm just prophesying on a Ford F-250 to come in. Watch this. Where is my son Josh? And Josh, you know what? I'm also going to prophesy that I'm going to get a Ford Mustang convertible. So that when you're ready, it's yours. I want the best for you. And nothing less. Because I'm proud of you. Everything that you do, because you're a hard worker, with a great spirit. Don't let no one lie to you and tell you that you're not. You're an overcomer, and victory is in your life. And all of my life, all I ever want to do is bless you, bless you, bless you, because I love you. Hallelujah. Oh God, we have to transition to the next one. Drunkenness. The drunkenness here. Pray. That's it. The drunkenness here. He's talking about the drunkenness that we overindulge in something to escape from something else. People want to start using that. Oh, you're a drunkard. Oh, you're an alcoholic. Oh, you're drinking. You shouldn't be drinking. No, you're using that very thing as a crutch because there's something inside of you that you don't know how to deal with. So you run to it. And he's talking about this kind of drunkenness that's in the church. He says, you know what? You don't want to deal with the issue. You're running to something else. It's a spirit of escapism that keeps you bound. And you got to get rid of it. You can go to classes if you want to. You can and look for a sponsor if you need to. They're helpful. What those are accountabilities. But accountability doesn't work unless you pick up the phone and call. Not after the fact. I was going to call you, but it's just, I couldn't deal with it. So one started to another. That's not accountability after the fact. Accountability is you have the urge and you call someone to say, you know what? This is what's going on inside of me. And that accountability says, don't do it. Let's pray. Did God reveal the root so we can uproot it? You can't say I'm accountable, but yet you don't pick up the phone and call. After the fact is not accountability. That's forgiveness. Please forgive me for I have sinned. What is my penance? Oh, I'll stop. Almost went there. I didn't mean to. I didn't want to offend nobody. Because, you know, priests can't forgive us our sin. Can't tell us how many Hail Marys. I'm just telling you, God. I'm talking to myself. Ain't nobody get mad. Why is it that we run to man to forgive us, but we can't run to you and say thank you for already forgiving us, but helping us to overcome that issue? I'm going to finish this. I was going to try to get us out early, but I'm going to finish this. We have to learn to go to God and understand that your sins are forgiven, but they're seeds that you have committed. And you're going to reap the harvest of what you committed. So it's better to go to God before you commit. And say, God, I don't want to get to this place of drunkenness again. I don't want to give in to the whatever it is. I want to make sure that I overcome this with you. And God will help you surrender your will. That's the drunkenness he's talking about. Okay. The next one is orgies. How many of y'all went the moment I said it to sexual connotation? Raise your hand. Keep them high. Orgies. Sexual connotation? No. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about here, orgies has now, this word has been developed into our culture as many acts of sexual intercourse with many people. That's not what he's talking about. The origin, original origin in the Greek, was how they would dance and drink before the god, a pagan god. If you would reference in your Bible, not now, if you would go back and read in Exodus 32, this is what it's speaking of. Moses goes to be in the presence of God to get the commandments. But then, because they didn't see a God, what they were used to, they created a God with what they had. Watch this. Don't miss that. You missed a nugget. You can create a God with what's inside of you. What you obtained. What you had from your past. And what you'll do is begin to make this thing that's in you become a God. So when Moses comes down, even Joshua says, I hear music. I hear a sound. He says, Moses tells him, it's not a sound of victory. It's a sound of dancing, drunkenness. And in actuality, right there is the original origin of orgy. Dancing before a false deity. Singing before a false deity. And having lewd acts. That's what that means. Now, could it lead into all that? Yes, because in reality, they were naked. The God that they were praising, what they were going through, was a God of lust. Lust. You know that when God purposes a thing, you know that he can just do it in a heartbeat, right? Well, why is it that he told Moses, deliver my people out? But yet, he had to send the plagues. Were there plagues for Pharaoh? Who was the plagues for? Israel. Why? Because every plague that came was a deity to them. He could have removed them immediately, but he knew he had to take what was already in them out before they could go into a place of liberty. So he proves to them that I am the God that controls everything. Not the frog that you serve. Not the gnats, the Lord of the flies. Not the blood. Not the plagues of locusts. What he's telling them is, this is what's inside of you, and I know that it's inside of you, and I've got to allow you to see it, that I'm a God above that. And I got to get you to understand, you got to let all these deities go and quit having orgies with these gods. Do you hear that? What is an orgy? In your sense of your mentality, what I asked you at the very beginning is sexual, correct? We went sexual immediately. Orgy. Oh my God, that's Lord, we're not going to talk about that in church. Yes, we are. Because this is what happens when we begin to give our affections and our flesh over to another deity. Well, I don't serve another God. You serve yourself and made yourself a God when you give in to the fleshly desires of yourself. Now, don't get it twisted. Say, well, you know, God gave me eyes to look and look, but you're looking way too much. How about you learn to be holy in the presence of God? And I don't mean holy like a holy, righteous person. I'm talking about learning how to go after God so that you can learn more of Him, and that you have an understanding that when I come into the presence of God, I know how to dance and praise before the real living God. And I know how to say, God, if I'm naked and dancing before you, I'm dancing like David did. And there was not an orgy. It was him dancing before the Lord. And that's why it wasn't sin, because it wasn't another deity. It was God himself. What we did at the beginning of the service is saying, come, I draw the line. I'm not going to give in to my fleshly desire towards another God. I'm not going to turn away from the things that God is telling me to do. And when God speaks to you, it's usually hard. It's not easy. The hardest thing God has ever spoken, be still. You ever try it? You can't. You get frustrated. Like, you don't want to use me. Be still. God, but I know I'm called. Be still. You don't know, but I have visions. Be still. God, I got something to share. Be still. But you don't understand, and you get so antsy. God says, that's the whole reason why I'm telling you to be still. You don't know how to listen. So what is God trying to do? He's trying to get us someplace. He's trying to get us to understand, as a church, don't follow after your flesh. And I'm not talking about the opposite sex or same sex, whatever the case may be. I'm not judge. I don't care. As long as you love God, and if you love God and pursue God with all your heart, all your strength and all your might, God will show up on your behalf and He'll reveal to you His perfected will. This is what God is trying to get us to do. It's to grab hold to the real deity of who He is, His real blessing, so He can remove the blockers in your life. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would, please. With your eyes closed, your heads bowed before the Lord. Two things. One, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, now is a really good time to do it. And it's nothing that you've got to do that's so, oh my God, I've got to give everything up. No, He just says, accept me and believe in me and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you too shall be saved. You shall have eternal life in Him. If that is you, who says, I want that God. I want that God that saves me. If that's you, now's the time to confess it. He hears it. He hears your thoughts. But He tells you to confess with your mouth. So what we're going to do as a church, we're going to say the sinner's prayer together as a church. And repeat after me. Dear Lord, I believe that You are the Son of God. That You died on the cross for me, for the forgiveness of my sins, past, present, and future. And I believe You died, but I also believe on the third day that You were raised from the grave. And now You sit at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me. And my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And my soul is saved for eternity. I know I'm going to heaven. Now help me to live right here on earth. Teach me the ways of the kingdom. And right now, Father, I want You to touch your belly button. Everybody. Right now, Father, I speak a healing to my soul. I bind every soulless realm. My mind, my will, and my emotion that does not line up with You. I take authority of it. I take dominion and I speak healing. I speak deliverance. And Lord, I thank You that You're making me new. Renewing my mind, renewing my heart, and renewing my soul. That my spirit is alive in You. That I don't look back, but I press on forward to the upward call, what You've called me to do. Open my eyes, God, to see what I need to see. But close my eyes to things that I don't need to see. Open my ears, God, to hear Your voice. Shut my ears, God, to the voice of influence that's not right for my life. Now, Father, I open up my heart to You. And I allow Jesus Christ to come in. To be Lord of my life. Order my steps to walk in the perfected will of God. I pray this now in the name of Jesus, Your Son, my Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. If this is the first time that you prayed it and you meant it, your life and your soul has been changed. Amen. Let God begin to walk you through the process of your life for change. Amen. God is taking us to a new place. And that place is called there. Not here. A new place is something of future, not of past. But your past will show you how far he's brought you out. So embrace what God has for you. I believe that God is about to bring healing to many people if you allow him. If you allow him. If you don't allow him, you'll suffer more because you're going to fight against his will. So hold true to it. Beloved, when I was talking to you earlier, I could feel within your heart the disappointment that has happened to you. And the disappointment has brought a lot of discouragement in the realm of relationships. And I'm here to tell you that you're not only going to be loved, respected, and honored for who you really are. You're a beautiful woman of God. Don't let anybody come and tell you otherwise. And don't let them ever attack your identity. You're a true woman of God. And you're going to see that the hand of God is going to bring healing in the area of relationship with you. You need that healing. And you won't be alone. I see you facing a wall as you sleep. And your mind races. And you stare at this wall enough that you begin to lose yourself in it. And you're finding a place of solitude as you're looking and staring at this wall. That your mind goes someplace else to help remove the pain that is deep within. You're going to find yourself. And I sense right now a very strong angelic presence around you. Very strong. And you've witnessed it many times. And I see you in a car. You were in a car and there was an accident that could have happened. You saw it and y'all stopped just in time. And it's the angel that God has assigned over your life to keep you and protect you. You're going to begin to experience things of joy and peace now. I'm not saying that you're not a happy person. Actually, you are. Actually, you're very loud, too. You like to have fun. Very loud. Which is great. So am I. But you get me out in public with people, I'm quiet. The introvert sometimes has to come out of that. But you like to have a lot of fun. Be that way. Stay that way. They can't accept you that way, then they don't need to be with you. Value yourself. And if they don't know how to talk to you right, maybe I'm going to tell you like this. If they don't know how to open the door for you, deuces, you're going. You need to be respected. Amen. God bless you. Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to her heart, I speak to her mind. And right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for a newness that is already around her. I thank you, Father, that the pitter-patter is here. There's a tingling that has been coming through your body. And I hear the Spirit of God saying it is the right thing for you to enjoy. It's the right thing for you to experience. Fear not, beloved. I love you to see you happy. I love you to see you free. Fear not, for the pain is being removed of past. I am uprooting the things and the control and the manipulation that has been over your life. I bind it now in the name of Jesus, and I loose you into your freedom to experience the very thing that I've called you to be. Jan, you are to be a happy person, and you're to be a person that says, I need rest in myself, but I also need to have rest in relationship. Be at peace, beloved, that you need to experience this because you need this in your life right now, says the Spirit of God, so that you can walk these things out and experience the things that you put on hold. God says, I'm opening that door so you can experience life once again. I have it worked out for you, says God. I have it worked out for you. There's going to be help for you. You're tired. You almost want to give up this investment deal. And God says, don't do it. I'm sending you help, says the Spirit of God. I'm sending you help. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God has early on in your life, you were about 5-6 years old. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, at that moment, your heart and your soul, and of course you're a kid, you didn't know this, but I called you to be a leader. A lot of people come to you and ask you for advice. And they talk to you and they're just, hey, what's going on? This is that, this and that. And you give advice and you help them. But who's there for you? And I hear the Spirit of God saying, I'm gonna raise you up. I'm going to raise you up. Not just as a leader, but as a warrior. As it is, you fight for people that can't fight for themselves. You see, you step in and people are like, hey, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone. You'll do that for others that can't defend themselves. And God is saying, I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to do that for you. The light that God has put on you is going to bring a light into the darkness in the realm of an uncle and an aunt. And the light is going to shine through and is going to bring healing to that marriage. Keep praying, man. Keep praying. God is going to raise you up in its season. And you begin to see the manifestation. You already have visions. You see things with your open eyes. And God is going to give you interpretations of that. Know that God is already pleased with you, but He's going to give you more. You are blessed with it. Before the end of this year, there's going to be such a transformation in your personal life that what you've desired will be manifest here. It will be manifest here. There's a sense within your spirit, and we haven't talked about this, but there's a sense in your spirit of being afraid. That says, fear not, man. What you have desired was not hidden from you, but it was hidden for you. Like this, to become one. To become one. Like mind, like spirit. Doing the very thing you enjoy. Before the end of this year, you'll see a manifestation of it in this church.